Well, as we get started this morning, I'd like to take a very unscientific poll. So raise your hand if you have ever been a child. How about raise your hand if you've ever known a child? Raise your hand if you're married to a child. Yeah. A couple of you reached really fast for that last one, right? Well, you know, most of us, we've all known a child, or we have been a child at some point in our lives. It's all small children at some point seem to go through this this time where they insist on doing everything themselves. And during that time, it's very common, right, for that child to say, "No, I will do it." They're like, "I'll do it." And as people, as we get a little bit older, we we have mixed emotions about that phrase. On one hand, you know, we want our children to learn to be sufficient and to be able to do things for themselves, but we also recognize that there are points or times in a child's life where they really do need our help. And that when they refuse to receive the help of others, they quickly get frustrated and sometimes can even get hurt. And what these children need to remember is to what they need is to accurately understand their own abilities and to know when the situation is beyond their control and when they need to ask for help. Well, in our text this morning, we're going to see that how often we can be like a little child. And we can become so full of pride that we insist on doing everything in our own power and we make our own mistakes. And Peter's going to show us how this attitude is foolish and sinful, and that our pride keeps us from the blessing that God gives to the humble. And so before we go any further, let's read this morning's scripture passage from 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Peter's first command comes in the beginning of verse 5. He says, "You who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders." When we're young, we have this tendency to want to do everything on our own. We want to act like we have it all figured out. And as we grow in knowledge, we tend to think that we know more than the old people in our lives who are now out of touch with the way things are in our world. But, you know, this attitude is incredibly foolish because those who are older usually have a good bit of wisdom that they've gained by living their lives. And so Peter says that part of being humble is learning to submit to those who are older and then therefore usually wiser than us. True humility recognizes that we do not have all of the answers, and that older people sometimes know things that we don't. You know, practically speaking, we should submit, should honor our parents and our grandparents, regardless of how old we happen to be right now. You know, one of the things that, you know, affected me the most with my dad and his accident was I love going to my dad for advice. You know, my dad is just, he's a wise man. And for a good period of his, throughout his recovery, it felt like I had lost this incredible resource. It was still there, but I wasn't able to talk to him the same way that I was able to before his accident. Now, praise God, you know, that it's coming back. I mean, Dad's recovery has been incredible, and I am so thankful for that. And, you know, I tell Sophia, you know, there's never a time when your parents are going to stop giving you advice. And I said, she's like, "Well, when's the last time, you know, Nana or Papa gave you some advice?" I'm like, "Last week." you know, because they never stopped being my parents. And I've learned that these two people are incredibly wise, and I am smarter when I listen to them. Our teachers, you know, to listen to our teachers, co-workers with more experience, other Christians who are older than us. When I was at my first church, you know, I was commissioned. I was 27 years old. I was appointed to Good Shepherd United Methodist Church. And I realized very quickly that most of this congregation had been Christians longer than I had been alive. And it was a very humbling thought. And I realized that these godly men and women were allowing me to be their pastor. Right? I hadn't earned it. I didn't deserve it. They were allowing me to be their pastor. And that church just loved me and fed me and gave me so much. I came to Concord. I was only 32, maybe 33. Still existing in a world where a lot of the congregation, you know, this thing I remember to think about Concord the most, Concord is filled with these saints, people who have walked with God, it seems like, forever. And I know I'm always smarter when I pay attention, when I listen, when I absorb the wisdom that this church has. I mean, I'm 50. And there are still people in this church who have probably been a Christian longer than I've been alive. So we need to listen. You know, this church has incredible wisdom in it. And we're always going to be blessed when we pay attention to things like that. I think there's also a second implication to the command. You know, command isn't just towards physical age. I also believe it could be talking about spiritual age. Now, those who are younger in their faith should submit to those who are older in their faith. Again, recognizing the fact that experience teaches things. Actually leads us to Peter's second point, that all of us need to be humble when we deal with one another. So the second part of verse 5 gives us then this command. It says, all of you, not just those who are younger to those who are older, but all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You know, Peter does not simply stop this command for younger people to exhibit humility when dealing with older people, but he also is saying to us, to all of us, that we should be humble when we deal with one another, right? Humility should be something that clothes us, right? When you see us, when you see a Christian, you should see them clothed in humility. Humility is not just an attitude we adopt when it's convenient, but humility is meant for us, the people of God, to be lived out every moment of every day. Now, Peter quotes the book of Proverbs to remind us of the importance that God places upon humility. He says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, we need to hear this, that when we insist on going our own way, when we refuse to listen, to work with others, to listen to others, we will find that we have another obstacle to overcome, God. That when we have a prideful attitude, when we begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, that God will help bring us back to reality. But on the other hand, for those of us who seek to deal humbly with others, God gives grace. That he will sustain us in difficult times and will help us to continue to fight against our sinful pride. And brings us to his third command. Third command is found in verses 6 and 7. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Now, the part of this passage that jumps out at me is Peter's command to cast all of our anxiety upon God. And it seems like a strange way to end a section of a passage that is focusing upon humility, for us then to cast anxieties, right? At first glance, we might have a little difficulty understanding what anxiety and worry have to do with humility. But if you think about it, you can see that anxiety and worry both have pride at their core. We feel anxiety and worry when we refuse to trust God. And we do not believe his promises to watch over us, to guide us, to provide for us. It shows that we really don't believe that God is in control of the circumstances of life. Anxiety develops because deep down we believe that God cannot or will not do what he says. Anxiety at its core is evidence that we lack humility before God. I know that telling people worry is a lack of humility or a lack of faith is only going to fill some of you with more anxiety. And so let's talk about what it means to cast our anxieties, to cast our cares upon him. Now, first of all, let me challenge you to consider the futility of worry. You know, I've heard it said that worry is a little bit like a rocking chair. Sure, it gives you something to do, but you're going to go nowhere. Peter says that instead of worrying, which doesn't get us anywhere, we should ask the Lord for help and for guidance. We need to remember that there are things beyond our control, that there are circumstances that we cannot change. And so instead of fretting about the things we cannot control, we should be asking for help from the one who can. Casting our anxieties upon the Lord doesn't imply passivity on our part. We can ask God to do the things that we can't, and then we devote our energy to the things that we can change. Secondly, we need to work at trusting God in everything. You know, God has designed us to function in a certain way, but we will often ignore his instructions. The result is frustration and it's stress because we believe we know better. And the result of our prideful disobedience is anxiety. We worry about how things will turn out because we don't trust that God's way is really best. And if we really want to start combating anxiety and worry, we need to start with simple obedience to his commands, even if they don't make sense. So I've got a brief video I'd like to show you at this point.
Jesus, I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you, I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right?
Right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm going to fall back.
Okay.
Woo!
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm gonna do it.
All right.
I'm really going to do it.
Okay. Good.
Oh, Jesus, you really caught me. I didn't think you were going to catch me, but you did.
Oh, that was great.
That was great.
You're ready for level two.
Level two, here yes. I come, baby. Woo! Whoa. Whoa.
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Woo! Forward fall. Okay. I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes, the Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
It looks that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
And do you trust him? Do you really believe that God knows what's best? And are you willing to trust God even when you don't understand? Even when you have the questions you asked aren't answered, are you willing to believe? Are you willing to trust God? A humble spirit, a humble attitude causes us to really trust God, to abide by the speed limits he has set, especially when we don't understand. True humility sees us as created beings with limited knowledge, and God as the creator with perfect knowledge. If we believe this, and we believe that God loves us, then we will do what he says. Peter's command to be humble, in my opinion, is one of the most difficult commands to follow. And it's difficult because deep down, each one of us wants to be in control. We want others to do what we want. And we don't want anybody telling us what to do. And with that being said, I also believe that this command to be humble is at the bedrock of our Christian faith. Because humility will, before God, will impact how we will live our lives. And it will impact the way that we relate to each other. Humility is the key to experiencing the peace of God in our lives. You know, as Christians, as little Christs, right? That's what Christian means. It's little Christs. We should be people who demonstrate humility in the workplace, in our homes, with our friends, in the church. Humility should be evident in every aspect of our lives. You know, no matter how old we are, somewhere inside of us is this little child who is demanding to be able to do it themselves. I want to do it my way. But church, this attitude robs us of the blessing of God. We cannot and we will not experience true freedom until we learn that we are not in control. And that we cannot do it ourselves. And it seems entirely counter to our minds. It seems counter to our world. But only when we recognize who we really are and who God really is will we ever have peace. The peace that God wants to give us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I'll be the first to confess that falling into your arms is not always easy. Lord, I will confess a desire to control, an attitude of anger, justice. Jesus, I can get so overwhelmed. And I recognize that I am merely robbing myself of peace. Help me, Jesus, to be able to fall back into you, to fall into trust with you. And Lord, I pray the same for my church family. Lord, I pray that when we are faced with circumstances and situations that seem to defy logic, or when we feel out of control, or when we would simply love to have our questions answered, that rather than setting our feet and proclaiming that we can do it, that Jesus, we would fall back into you. Help us, Jesus, become a little bit more trusting today. Help us with our humility. Continue your wonderful work within us. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen. Church, I will confess to you, it is incredibly easy for me to stand here before you and tell you to trust. I fully recognize that. But we are on that journey together. And not only that, not only are we in the journey together, but God has left us his Holy Spirit. That the things we are unable to do in and of ourselves, we have the Holy Spirit's help. So with God and with one another's help, can we choose to trust in God a little bit more today? Can we choose to humble ourselves and recognize ourselves here and God here? That God and God's word can be trusted. That God can be trusted. Because, church, the blessing that comes along with that is that the worries and the cares and anxieties we carry, we're invited to leave them here. We're invited to turn them all over to God. We'll receive that blessing. Gracious God, we pray for your Spirit's help in becoming more and more like Jesus each and every day. That we would choose to trust in you, that we would choose to trust in your word, that Jesus, we would follow you. Jesus, thank you for loving us, and thank you for taking us on this adventure. It's in your name, Savior, we pray. Amen.